You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and guest host Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition of Answers for Your Family. I'm today's host, Dr. Melody Fox, clinical psychologist and marriage family therapist. Alan Cardoza is out working on a production, and he'll be back next week. But today's guest is somebody that I've been really looking forward to because I haven't been shy on the show about my own ADD and ADHD and working with that. But he is considered an expert in the field of ADD and ADHD. And our guest today is Kevin Ross Emery. Now, he is a very sought-after leader and innovator and author and teacher and speaker, and he has worked with many huge companies, and in the 1980s, he was a driving force for the creation and implementation of training programs in baking, retail, food, and finance service industries, and he's worked in both the professional and personal development fields, as well as the corporate and small business. And I want to welcome you, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, to our show today. And I had a question for you right off the bat here.
Batter up.
Okay. Well, I noticed that your doctorate is that of divinity, and you started out writing a lot of books about spiritual journey, and then you wound up working your way into writing several books about ADD and ADHD. So I was wondering, what sparked your interest in the subject?
Well, and just so your listeners are clear, because sometimes people confuse divinity with theology. And so divinity is the nature of the spirit of man, what moved man out of the caves, over the waters, up into the air. And so I don't bow at the altar of a particular church. So I'd just like to make that just put that out there to begin with.
Sure.
I was kidnapped into ADDHD, as I like to call it. And it was because I had a very busy practice working with people who wanted non-traditional solutions to all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in practice about 16, no, wait a second, I was in practice, I'm going to get my math backwards here. I had been in practice for about 8 years at that point when I had a couple that I was working with. He declared that he thought he was ADD. And that's the only term they used back then, because
mm-hmm.
we're talking the 90s, and how much it influenced what was going on. And so I started working with him that day. That was on a Thursday. On Monday, a woman that had worked with me, had been a client of mine and also a student of mine, was all upset because her 11-year-old son they were told that he couldn't return to school unless they medicated him.
Hmm.
He said he would kill himself before he would become a zombie. And so I started working with him. And interestingly, I had just had another book out and was getting ready to do a 6-week book signing tour up and down the East Coast through Borders, Barnes & Nobles, Walden Books. I can't even think of all the places I stopped in that 6 weeks. But I kept on getting questions that people that would come about my spiritual books about ADHD, ADD. Again, ADD was what it was called at the time, even though they had no knowledge that it had just started to seep into my practice as something
mm-hmm.
to deal with. I saw it immediately as a gift and not a disability.
Mm-hmm.
I recognized it as, well, you know, hey, it's a different way of being in the world, but who am I to poke at different ways to be in the world? Because, you know, I'm a poster child for a different way to be in the world. So what's wrong with these guys? I'm not disabled. Why are these people disabled?
Mm-hmm.
And within about 6 months, my practice flared up to about 40 to 50% of the people I was working with were either parents or kids with ADDHD, or within a year, I did my first in-service for teachers. And I wasn't promoting it. I hadn't written my first book yet. The word on the street got around very quickly
mm-hmm.
in the two areas where I had my offices, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and Portland, Maine, that there was this guy that looked at it differently and had some solutions and didn't see your kid as broken.
Right. And I like that, you know, your books talk about managing the gift of ADD and ADHD and alternative approaches for ADD. And I've had ADD since I was a kid, and now I have adult, but I always looked at it as a gift. But we do see things differently, and there are different approaches that you have in the way that you look at things. And, you know, to me, it is a gift, and I, too, try to let the kids know and the adults that I work with know that it is a gift, and you just have to find out where those gifts are and just enjoy it and manage it.
Well, you know, the thing is, we have come to a place, and you know, one of the things I looked at, because I talk about it, I define it as part of the evolutionary process, and that it broadened the bandwidth of humanity, and that they were the architects of the 20th century. From the observational modes it takes to get this diagnosis today, we are looking at Einstein, Edison, Graham Bell. I mean, Einstein, who they thought was mentally retarded. Edison was deemed inappropriate for education and was basically invited to leave school at the age of 12. And we have these great increasing numbers of people, just like anything when it becomes evolutionary, who are building upon their predecessors who had ADD that solve problems in a different way because they literally think differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so often when I talk to people, unless they themselves are ADD or they have a very intimate or very close relationship with an ADD person and have gone beyond the surface, they don't get it when I say, we think differently.
Mm-hmm.
I am a poster child. We think differently. We solve problems differently. We come up with solutions other people never would have got to. And we go through this crazy leapfrog way of doing it. But we need to teach these kids and these adults how to master and use that way. And medication does not do that.
Mm-mm.
Medication has been shown over and over again. It improves memorization. And so much of our educational system, and this is what I call it, the vomit system of learning, is we shove things down kids' throat, and if they vomit it up in the right order, then they get a pat on the head and they get moved forward.
Right.
But some studies have even indicated that there is a slight decrease in comprehension on these drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So we really have to start questioning, you know, in the first book I called it, instead of calling it ADD, we should have called it CIS, which is cultural inconvenience syndrome. We medicate these kids because they're culturally inconvenient.
Especially for teachers that have a curriculum that they have to teach in a certain way by a certain time of the year.
Are we referring to the Every Child Left Behind Act?
Not any act in particular. I just know I work in the schools, and there's certain benchstones or benchmarks that the kids have to be, and they have to teach a certain curriculum. And if the kids don't fit into that groove and pick it up fast enough, then it's like, okay, they're a problem child. They've got stuff going on. They have ADD, whatever.
Well, and, you know, the thing is, and I do call it the Every Child Left Behind Act. And, you know, and every educator that I have dealt with, and I don't deal with educators a lot anymore, though that could change tomorrow because my life, like my practice, my business, everything has a fluidity to it.
Mm-hmm.
And but all of the best teachers and administrators, I don't know any of them that like No Child Left Behind, which is what I call Every Child Left Behind, and that basically we've got testing that has only brought us to teaching mediocrity, to jump through hoops which cut off the brightest kids,
mm-hmm.
and cut off the kids that really do need some help.
Right.
But it may be about how we're presenting the information or the way that we want them to take it in.
Oh, absolutely. I have kids in junior high school that have trouble reading and are getting further and further behind, but they keep advancing them. But they're brilliant children, but they learn a different way. And so they haven't been able to learn just basic reading.
And, you know, and one of the things that I've done with kids, and, you know, I know you and I come from two very different ways, but, you know, I've been in practice for 24 years. So, you know, I've got a few stories.
I bet.
You know, and you may have already tried this, but do something that they really want to read in an unabridged edition. Are you putting them on audio while they're reading the book at the same time?
Oh, the teachers are not doing that, no.
No, but we should be doing that at home.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, because let's say they're junior high school. Maybe they like Harry Potter. I'm just using that as an example. Get an unabridged audio edition of Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, I want you to read the book as the person is reading it and make that connection and see if their auditory and their visual will synchronize better. I've had some fabulous success with kids that have had that problem before.
Oh, that's a great idea. And I hope those that are listening that have this issue, try that at home and then let us know how it works. Before we get much further, I'd like for you to define ADD-HD.
Well, when I talk about it as a, my snap thing, because I call it ADD-HD, is attention diversity demanding high definition information. We're talking about very brilliant, creative, outside the box thinkers that are naturally rebellious, that have to be engaged. These children, and if your children, let's say your children qualified by my definition of ADD-HD. Mm-hmm. And I can't diagnose and I can't prescribe, and I always make sure that we're really clear on this, because, I'm not a, just like as a psychologist, you can't prescribe medication. Certainly, but the medication I prescribe is medication of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a pill bottle. So I just want to make that clear. But let's say your children, under the definition I give, these very brilliant junior high school people that you have, are ADD. So if they were in my definition of what it is, and this is part of the problem, and we'll get to that separately, so remind me of that.
Okay.
But what we do is we look at these kids and we go, okay, when they look at something, they look at it analytically and abstractly simultaneously. They'll look at something like you pick up a snow globe and look at it from all 360 degrees. But in order to get them to do that, that mind has to be convinced that it is a value, that there is a reason they should make that effort, that whatever you're trying to get them to do on the outside of their brain is more interesting than what's going on the inside of their brain.
Mm-hmm.
You are competing with a very curious, very educationally hungry brain that challenges everything it learns as part of its understanding process. So if you think you're going to sit at the front of the classroom and go, wah, 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 and keep their attention, you're foolish.
Mm-hmm.
If you think as a parent you're going to sit there and say, well, because it's always been done that way, the ADD brain goes, oh, they have no idea why they do it that way. Well, I'll figure it out, and I'll figure out a better way to do it. And then mm-hmm. I'm going to come back and show them a better way to do it, because that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I find different ways to do it. I find better ways to do it. I find problems to solve. And to the ADD-HD brain, if you can't explain why you do it, if it doesn't make some kind of sense in something that can be explained to them, then it's a problem to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
Your data is thrown out.
And they spend a lot of time thinking about it, figuring it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the two tasks. I mean, even ADD, attention deficit disorder, is a misnomer because they hyperfocus, so they multitask. If your two kids are my kids, because I call them all my kids,
mm-hmm.
because they'll always be a childlike quality to them. I'd call you one of my kids.
Great.
If your kids are my kids, then that brilliance is here to challenge the world. It's here to change the world. It's here to make the world a better place. And they're not so interested in how it's always been done unless it's going to be presented in a way that's a building block on how them to do it differently, not just so that they can spit it out and report it to you.
It has to make sense.
It has to make sense. And so, I teach, when I teach families, especially starting at a young age, dealing with ADD-HD children, or any child, my latest book is called Managing the Gift of Your ADD-HD Child, but there's a whole section I do on action and consequence parenting. And that's how every child should be raised. Mm-hmm. And you're a family therapist, so you're probably either going to say, that's great, or you're going to jump down my throat. I'm not sure which one, but I'll shut up in a second. You can choose.
Well, so far, so good.
But when we have these, when we have, especially the very bright children, whether they're ADD or not, whenever you're talking about a bright child or a very creative child, you have to engage them that they have a participatory responsibility in their actions. And that there's no emotions. It's never about punishment. I'm not going to punish you. I'm going to set up and co-create with you a list of behaviors and what they get. And these behaviors get things that you like, and these behaviors get things you don't like, and you get to choose the behavior. And you're not a bad child. I hate bad child syndrome.
Oh.
And I have to say that one of the things, and I hope none of your listeners do this, but if you do, don't ever do it within earshot of me, which is, we have the holidays, or we have a special event, or we have a birthday party, or we have summer vacation. We have young children, and we take them off all of their routines. We get to take them off all of the regular everything. We let them stay up way past when they should. We completely disrupt their schedule. We feed them, let them eat crap that we normally would never let them eat. We put them out of situations they're familiar with. We semi-ignore them because we're partying and visiting. And then they have a meltdown, and then we scream at them, why do they have to behave this way?
Mm-hmm.
And when I see a parent do that, I go up to the parent, I go up to the child and go, you need to look at your mommy or your daddy and say, why are you such a bad parent that you put me in this situation?
Turning it around, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we do this with ADD kids.
Mm-hmm.
They need consistency.
Yes.
They need to feel heard. They need to have their intelligence recognized and not talked to like they're stupid. And they need to participate. And then we need to remember that when so much is going on in your brain and you get so stimulated by what's going on, consistency is very important. They will create their own unpredictability within the consistency all on their own. They don't need your help. So that's very important for any of the parents out there listening. Create that consistency and try to remember, when I had a child, I made a pact to be responsible for a life for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to check out because it's inconvenient. I don't get to check out. And one of the issues why we have this need to also, I call it label, disable, and medicate.
Mm-hmm.
So many kids today is so many parents are abdicating parental responsibility. Oh. My daycare teacher, my after school provider, I have a list of adults that when you add their time together, it's more time than I spend with my child. And so you have all these other adults of varying moral, ethical, behavior, educational levels, concepts of who your child is and what they should be doing in the world, that are having more influence than you are on your child, and then you wonder why you don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't go talk to a teacher who needs information from you, if that's a really good teacher, who may work with your child and not be screaming for medication, if you could give them a few clues and some support from the home front.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't care which parent it is. I'm not women should stay home. Please. Women should do whatever they want. But when a man and a woman, or a man and a man, or a woman and a woman have a child, mm-hmm. somebody needs to stay with that child. And I don't care who it is, but it should be a parent or an immediate responsible family member. I see people work out that grandparents will come and take care of the child during the week. Okay, well, they raised you. You're not suicidal, you're not a maniac, you're not a sociopath, we hope.
Right.
So I guess they can raise your child, they raised you.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, don't complain about your childhood and then tell me you're letting your parent raise your child.
Boy. boy. I've heard that a lot, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I had a horrible mother. Oh, well, how's your relationship today? Yeah. Well, it's pretty good. She comes in and she helps me with my kids and she takes care of them 5 days a week. Oh, good. So now they get a horrible mother.
Well, yeah, I like to think the grandparents have learned a little bit through the years. And
yeah, but you know what I know? That's a 50-50 crap shot.
Well, okay, that's a whole other show there. We'll get into that. But let's get back to ADD and ADHD, because I'm in the schools and I see it all the time, but there's such an increase in the diagnosis of that. What is your thoughts on why that's happening?
In the last decade, there's been a 67% increase in diagnosis of ADHD among kids. And the number is going to be even higher than that among adults, I'm predicting, in the next 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. Some people will want to say that it's our medical awareness and our ability to diagnose is going up. I say that it is created from the fact that the drug companies spend a lot of money on advertising, are one of the most profitable companies in our country, spend $50 million more last year than the second closest lobbyist in making sure that they own Washington and they get the things passed that they want to get passed. Mm-hmm. So I think that that has one of the factors. Most doctors get their continuing ed credits, through pharmaceutical-sponsored in-services.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen? What kind of line is that in-service provider going to be giving them? They're going to give them a pro-drug line. They're always going to give them a pro-drug line. Most of the studies have been underwritten by drug companies. So we get the focus that they want to. This whole discussion about the neurological, is it really a neurological issue and this and that, and yet they cannot come out with proof that it is actually a neurological issue. And the research study that they most like to quote to say that it is a neurological issue is one that they did saying 8 out of 10 kids had this part of their brain that wasn't growing as fast, but those kids were all had been medicated, and one of the side effects of medication is inhibits growth. And if it inhibits for physical growth of actually, they don't grow as tall, they don't, why would we not think that it could also be inhibiting things going on in the brain?
Mm-hmm.
And who's to say what the right order is? Because longer search researchers have showed that it will balance itself out given time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a misdiagnosis rate of ADHD by about 20%, according to the NIH, which is one of the highest misdiagnosis rates out there, but no one ever talks about it. And that one of the primary reasons is because the kids that are being diagnosed are the youngest in their class, and they just don't have the maturity and the social skill levels.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they're starting kids much earlier in the school, too.
Yes.
Which doesn't help them developmentally.
Yep. It used to be said that they didn't even recommend that children under the age of 8 receive the medication. Now, bills have been, things have been passed. I'm misusing the word bills, so I don't want to say bills. But now there have been programs that came at the urging of the drug company to go and start to look in preschool to scan them early so they are medicated by kindergarten. Now, even when there was a 5-year time period, even when the American Medical Association was saying don't give this medication under 8 years old,
mm-hmm.
because we don't know the effect. With the kids are too young to be putting these kind of drugs in their system, we don't know what's going to happen. There was a 400% increase in the medication of 2 to 4-year-olds.
Wow.
When the FDA came out with black box warning labels and saying these medications could create disability or death, and you should use them very cautiously, the American Journal of Pediatrics came out with a big, huge article saying, ignore what the FDA said. They don't know what they're talking about.
Hmm.
This is insane. This is insane that the American Journal of Pediatrics should put out an article saying, ignore what the FDA says about the warning labels of these drugs. Why would they do that? Well, let me see. They get huge funding from drug companies.
Sure.
Okay. So that's one of the reasons. The whole drug company thing cannot be ignored. It's a huge cash cow. The second thing is And you may or may not be aware of this. You're in the field, so you probably are. But many years ago, we came up with a list of 10 things to look at that you would suspect would be counterindicative of what you would think of as a gifted child that may actually indicate that that child is gifted and eligible for a gifted program that they had back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the 10 things. Look for it. That's when America started falling in its standings, in the world standings in education, and we were no longer right at the top. We were falling, and we were going to create this gifted program. We were going to find our brightest kids. We were going to give them the smallest classrooms, the best teachers, the best technology. They were going to be the spearhead of raising American education. Well, of course, you know, politics changes, and programs have to be funded, and funding gets painful, and everybody has a great idea about how to do something, but no one wants to write the check for it. And at the end, the gifted program almost went away. It went away in its original inception.
Mm-hmm.
But a few years later, a list came out of 10 things for people to identify that this child could have ADD, and you may want to recommend, or they may want to go to a doctor, and they may want to get diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
The list was identical.
Amazing.
Okay, identical. So the other problem is our education system has two or three things wrong with it, which pushes us towards thinking the only choice is we have to get these kids medicated because they take too much time and attention and resources unmedicated.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's one of the pieces of pie. We haven't put out the whole pie to answer your question yet, why the diagnosis rates are up. So we have the drug company. Then the education system, which is underfunded, undersupported, and we have to get rid of tenure. Mm-hmm. Tenure absolutely has to go. It has made our education system mediocre. The best education systems in the world do not have tenure.
Yeah.
Teachers have to fight for positions, and they're treated like doctors and lawyers, and they are better educated. They have higher standards they have to go into, and they have to maintain, and they are paid accordingly.
I'm on board with you on that. I've seen some teachers that really probably could be ready for retirement, and there's a lot of new teachers that have all the best new learning techniques and teaching techniques, and they are gung-ho and ready to teach and can.
No, and, you know, and a sad thing, and I hate to say this, but it is a sad but true thing, that if you are flunking out of other majors, you can still go to get a degree in education today.
Hmm.
Be a teacher. But I have met some brilliant, and I have been touched by brilliant teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And someday my ego wants to tell me that somebody will refer to me as a brilliant teacher. But, you know, that's my ego. but teachers, there are some brilliant teachers out there that are trying so hard to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the other problem with the education system, every child left behind, mandatory testing, the fact that they don't allow for the individuality and the cutback of arts programs and athletic programs,
mm-hmm.
and playground time. So there's a whole bunch of things that fit into this.
Mm-hmm.
Then our diet has gotten at an all-time worst level of toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
You feed this child enough sugar to feed a small third world country for a year in breakfast. They go on a sugar high, low, drop. One of the reasons kids are getting diagnosed is because, you know, they're not getting fed at all, or they're getting fed crap, or they're getting fed what's easy. They're getting themselves to school, you know, at an age earlier than they really should be ready to go off and get themselves to school because the parent has to go work, and
mm-hmm.
they're coming from a broken home or a blended home, a single-family home. And you know, so the parenting skills, and we're having second, third generation latchkey kids. And so how does a parent that never got parented know how to parent?
That's a good question.
And what are they going to do? They're going to trust their authority figure.
Mm-hmm.
And their authority figures, they have profit-motivated reasons. And schools can have profit-motivated reasons because if they have kids with disabilities, they can get extra funding.
Sure.
And families can get SSI checks. But if your doctor says Medicaid and you don't put your child on medication, the government can take away the SSI check, which is a travesty that the government should tell a parent in a case like ADD, you have to put that child on the medication, because that is not a life-threatening issue.
Right. And along those lines, I have a listener question and comment I wanted to throw in, and I think you kind of answered it with what you just talked about, but I'm going to throw this out at you. It says, I'm very disappointed in my daughter. Her son was recently diagnosed with ADD, and she's adamant that drugs he has been put on are their own choice. I've given her a mountain of research showing her that there are other options, but she believes in her doctors, who ridicules what I have presented. What is wrong with her medical community that the people we trust with our health just will not look at other options, and this is breaking my heart. Any further comments on that before we go take a quick break?
Well, I think that part of the problem is doctors have been put on the treadmill like everybody else. And in fact, I'm just finishing up an article right now, and this is part of this article that I'm finishing up, which is if a parent goes into a doctor and says, here are the symptoms, after they've looked them up on the internet, and this is what my child does, and I'm getting calls every day from school that I really need to get this child medicated, and I don't want to deal with teachers because I didn't want to deal with teachers when I was a kid. Why would I want to deal with them as an adult? Then it's very easy to go there. Some doctors, close-minded, arrogant, can't see beyond their nose, as I've said many a time, and I'm not the first one to say it, MD, minor deity. That's what MD stands for. Mm-hmm. And they won't look at it. And again, that's because they're getting their end services from the drug companies. Right. That's what they're doing. That's what they believe. And your daughter needs to choose a doctor who doesn't laugh and isn't derisive about wanting her to have alternatives. Mm-hmm. She definitely needs to have some healthcare advocacy going on there with somebody that reminds the doctor who's working for who, because that doctor should be saying, if you want to try some of the things, let's look at them. If I don't know what they are, then I will find out. No, not interested.
Right. They just want to
that
go for the...
That doctor also, on insurance, maybe has 15 minutes to spend with that kid.
Exactly. Well, we have to take a quick break. I'm so glad you're with us today, Kevin Ross Emery. And we're talking about managing the gift of your ADHD. And we'll be back with more here on Answers for the Family. Stand by.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585. And let us help you.
And we're back with more Answers for the Family. I'm your host today, Dr. Melody Fox. And Alan Cardozo will be back next week. And our guest today, we're talking about managing the gift of ADD and HD, is Kevin Ross Emery, who's written several books and is a profound lecturer and teacher in his own right on the subject and many more subjects. And right before the break, Kevin, we were talking a little bit about teachers and all that. And I have another listener question comment that came through, and it says three of our students are with ADHD. So this might be from a teacher. There's no sign here, but it says the title of the show, Manage the Gift, really was intriguing as parents and the teachers consider it a huge disability. Can you explain to us why you call it a gift? And I'm very anxious to share the show and your work with my colleagues, but need a few talking points to get them engaged in this. And I know we talked a little bit about the gift, but can you expand upon that more?
Okay. So I certainly will. So here we have, I'm going to put a codicil before I start.
Okay.
Which is, there is increasing evidence, and I'm sure you're very aware of this, that because ADHD is such an easy diagnosis to get, that it gets assigned early.
Mm-hmm.
And they play with sometimes 2-3 dosages or different kinds of medications. They bop around. Your child is basically a laboratory rat to figure out what's going to be just the right cocktail so they can memorize and not cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then another diagnosis comes, because even after that, it's clear that there's actually another issue, and then another issue, and another issue. I've met people that came to me because they said they had ADHD, and they didn't have it. They had that, and they had four other issues afterwards. They were ADHD, and then they were obsessive compulsive, and then they were oppositional defiant, and then they were, you know, and it went on and on, and they had all of these different diagnoses. But the ADHD is one of the single easiest diagnoses to get, and it's like, and it gets them on the pill, the pill path,
mm-hmm.
the medication path, and then all these other diagnoses. So remember, NIH, and I think they're being conservative, even in a traditional standard, 20% misdiagnosis. So when I want to say all of that, because as I talk about the gift, somebody's going to say, well, my kid's got ADHD and four other diagnoses, and that doesn't describe them at all. They probably don't have ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to, that's my codicil, and I'm sure you've seen some of that.
Oh, yeah, and just a little sidebar here. I noticed that when they start to diagnose them earlier, it's more misdiagnosed because a lot of those behaviors are just natural development of young children.
Yeah, it's kids being kids.
Right, exactly. So, okay, continue.
So the first thing is, why is it a gift?
Right.
Well, it's a gift because these are highly brilliant children. They are very smart. You have to unlock the smartness sometimes, because you have to get them engaged into something where that intelligence shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Intelligence is best measured not by the answers that they give, but by the questions they ask. How do you get them to engage? And what I've heard over and over again in 16 years now of working with this,
mm-hmm.
is we know that they're very bright. We know sometimes they'll say something or do something that blows me away, and then they can't seem to read, or they can't do a column of math, or, you know, they flunk their test. So they're either brilliant or they're not brilliant. And so if we have evidence that they're brilliant, then they're not being engaged in the other way, in the other things, in a way that makes their mind connect to it, attach to it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're putting out as one of the gifts is highly intelligent. They're also very creative. Now, that creative may show up in the arts. It may show up in their problem solving. It may show up in the way that they, you know, just actually organize themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And here's so one of the things is, but that creativity is pretty consistently there. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm not, which is, you know, one of the things is I recently had an app released on iTunes called
mm-hmm.
Managing the Gift. And on it, there's 12 questions that a parent can take about their child. And when, after they've taken the 12 questions, they get assigned a shade on the Dr. Kevin Rainbow. With that comes a 17 to 19 page report about the child for parenting, diet, educating, getting them to do homework,
mm-hmm.
how do they best learn, social interactions, what you need to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 64 shades on the Dr. Kevin Rainbow. The reason I bring this up is, as we talk about their gifts, we also have to not fall into the social welfare mode of the person is their diagnosis, and their diagnosis defines everything. Their diagnosis is an ingredient in the stew.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make them who they are.
Yeah, it's not who they are, and that has to be treated as such.
Mm-hmm.
And so, brilliant, creative, think outside the box, have a very different way of problem solving, brilliant problem solvers, and to think things that we've never thought before. And I give examples like Einstein, like Edison, like people like Bill Gates, Stephen Jobs, Warren Buffett, Robin Williams, people today that have changed our world, mm-hmm. that did not medicate, and most of them either were old enough they never got the label, didn't bother with the label never showed up, but you talk about some of the best and brightest minds today still affecting the world. You're talking the ADD mind. Mm-hmm. And some of them shy away because we put such a stamp of disability on it, but if you watch and observe their behaviors, they'll even refer to themselves that way. And some of them mm-hmm. have absolutely come on and said, I absolutely am. They've had no problem with it. Michael Phelps, 18 gold medals. So some of the ADHD kids will be superior athletes. And so every piece of education we gave them, if we gave it to them in a metaphor that helped them with this driving energy level that they had, and if we educated them through math and science and history, through sports and athleticism, and we made it kinesthetic and as physical as mm-hmm. possible, they would get it.
Right.
If you've got one of these kids sitting there that can't sit, let them not sit. And I know they've started to do that in classrooms. Now, when I first came in the late 90s, you would have thought I had two heads when I was talking about letting them walk in the back of the classroom
mm-hmm.
and not having to sit down. And I know education has been catching up. And again, the educators are very limited by laws and by too much control and by too little budget. Mm-hmm. So my sympathy goes out to them. Nobody has a black hat here. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of their gifts, and they're natural rebels. They also are natural leaders, and they're very good teachers. One of the things I always found very impressive was in Thailand, a kid that we might call ADD, what they would do is that child would actually, at the very beginning of the classroom, that child would be brought up to the classroom, and all the other kids would be doing something, and then that kid would be very quickly gone through what was being taught that day, and that child would teach the other kids.
Mm-hmm. I think that's brilliant because it engages them in a different way and uses a different part of their brain, and they're able to focus and be engaged.
Yep. And if you take two ADHD kids, and one struggles with math and one struggles with reading, the math kid will help the reading kid, and the reading kid will help the math kid because the other one has found a value. So they'll find a value for the kid who didn't find the value. And they'll go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Because, so they can engage each other.
Well, because they get it. They could talk to each other in a language they understand.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. Teaching is one of the professions that ADDs are actually drawn to go into. I always say the best profession for them is entrepreneurialism. But that's only because they usually don't do cubicle well. And they certainly don't do stupid rules well. And if you want to talk about stupid rules, there's a plethora of them in corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the gifts. The natural rebellious, the brilliant, the creative, the outside-the-box thinking, the love to learn, the love to educate. Mm-hmm. And there's a real split. And again, you know, like I said, I have 64 shades mm-hmm. on my Dr. Kevin Rainbow. So, you know, we're talking quite the diversity. There are some of them that can be very compassionate, very loving. They're my humanitarian ADDers, and they're out there, mm-hmm. and they're going to save the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the very scientific ADDers, and sometimes they can be disconnected from other people's feelings because they're so stuck in their head. But all of the places which keep them out of balance, if you are using the right connective tools to show value and to engage them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I am going to emphasize, and this is something that teachers can't control, is if they're not getting support, if they're made to feel bad or stupid at home, because sometimes they'll ask questions that don't sound like they have any reason, like, well, that, why would you ask that? Not instead of, oh, how'd you come up with that question? Because we were talking about this, and then you asked that question. And it looks like a non sequitur, to me, explain to me how you got there. Because somewhere in their brain it wasn't. I mean, instead of encouraging that, if it gets shut down, if they get yelled at, if they're getting put on a bad diet, if they're putting in situations where they're constantly not really getting a lot of one-on-one adult time early on, it makes it that much more difficult for the teachers when they come in, because I know the question came from a teacher.
Yeah.
So, and again, if you're going to feed them crap and send them to school, then you wonder why they have crappy behavior. Well, there's a reason.
Right.
So I don't know if that helps. Do you think I answered it well enough? You want me to keep going?
Well, I'd love for you to keep going a few more hours, but we don't have that much time left. I would like to ask you more about what is the name of your website and how can people find the app that you're talking about? Because I think it's a great tool.
Well, the app is on iTunes, and right now it's only for Apple products. At some point, I will make the crossover to Android, but that was my developer's decision, not mine.
Well, let me know when it goes Android.
Yeah. What we're probably going to do is convert the information at some point over to website, because to tell you the truth, when you do non-Apple, as how it was explained to me, there's a lot of little peculiarities so that it would have to be repeated once. It would have to be repeated a half a dozen times to cover all of the major non-Apple brands. So I'm probably going to transfer it to a website that you guys can get access to as a better, more effective way to try to do it. As it is right now, I'm working on the adult version of the app for the 64 adult shades for career and relationship and stuff like that.
Oh, that's really
interesting. As far as where people find me, managing the gift of ADHD. .com, managingthegiftofadhd.com is a great place to find me, or at mydrkevin.com. If people go to mydrkevin.com, they'll see that there's the ADHD stuff. They'll also see that there's the entrepreneur stuff, because a lot of ADHD people do become entrepreneurs, and I've done work with entrepreneurs for years. And there's also a section called Journey to Greatness, about reaching in and really finding and living your greatest self. And again, there's that, that kind of, you don't have to be ADHD to go to either one or the other, but there. But if you're like, all I want to know is about your ADD stuff, managingthegiftofadhd.com is the place to go. I also have a manage.medicaid.com. I know I'm overwhelming people, but
we'll put it on our website too.
If you think of My Dr. Kevin, that's my Facebook fan page, that's my Pinterest, that's my LinkedIn.
Wow, you're really connected.
That's the website and get to the ADHD. So MYDRKEVIN, whatever social media platform you're on or website you're looking for, you can find it all through MYDRKEVIN.
That sounds great. And I know we have a few more minutes, so I'd like to go back a little bit, that there seems to be a lot of recent findings that, at the very least, that really support your way of dealing with ADD and HD. And I'd like for you to talk a little bit more about some of those studies, if you could.
Well, you know, and it's really interesting, because I'm going to put this out here. And one of the studies that came out recently, and I want to... do two things here. One is the Quebec study. And the Quebec study did 4,000 kids for 11 years.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. And it's so funny because I've been posting on one of the LinkedIn ADHD groups, and this guy keeps on wanting to dismiss it. Well, that's a single study. I'm like, that study is longer than any study that's been done in this country that I know of, and has huge numbers behind it. Of a lot more kids. So, you know, you can have five little six-month studies or nine-month studies that say, oh, yeah. When you're talking 11 years and 4,000 kids, I think you need to give that some serious consideration. And so what they came up with was this, that boys that were not medicated on ADHD outperformed boys who were over that 11-year time period. And girls who got medicated had more mental and emotional problems than girls who did not. So the medication seemed to give mental and emotional problems to the girls, and it did not help the boys perform better over the long run, which reinforces earlier studies that came and got buried, because all we ever get the reference to is who controls the information, and it's the one that supports the medication route, mm-hmm. that in a 2 to 3 year time period, the ADHD person will catch up to their peers and then surpass them if just left alone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and of course, they have to be managed, mm-hmm. and you have to work with them, but they seem to start a little slower.
Right.
But I say it's a different, that they're just acquiring more disparate pieces of information, and when they click in place, they have warp drive.
And I hate to stop you right at this moment, but we do have to run here. We're on a quick time limit, so could you, in like 20 seconds, finish your thought, if possible?
Absolutely. So the other thing is, we're given the misnomer that in order for our kids to do well in school, that the ADHD medication is like almost mandatory. That's what really gets communicated. Yet in the top 5 educational systems in the world, we're 17th, and we're falling. Mm-hmm. In the top 5 educational systems in the world, they rarely ever diagnose ADHD, and even more rarely even medicate it.
Mm-hmm.
So how come the top educational systems in the world do not need this label and do not need this medication and are turning out vastly superior test results from their children than we do here?
Right.
We're being hoodwinked.
And that is food for thought for you to come back and talk more about that another time, if you would.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Kevin Ross Emery, for joining us today. Managing the Gift of Your ADD, ADHD Child. Lots of books on that. You can look up on the website. We'll have his information on ours, on Answers for the Family blog.com. And that's Answers, the numeral 4, the Family blog.com. And join us next week for Alan Cardoza. He'll be back in the studio then. Thanks for joining me today on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and guest host Dr. Melody Fox, right here on LA Talk Radio.